Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of the Cure Talks Cancer Podcast. Each week, we'll be hearing from patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, and healthcare professionals to do what Cure does best: provide cancer updates, research, and education. In November 2019, Makari Tarpley was in ballet class preparing for a dance concert at her performing arts high school when she noticed some extreme tightness in her neck. After class, she looked in the mirror and noticed that her neck looked swollen. After school, she asked her mom if her neck looked different, and when she agreed, they decided to go to the doctor. At first, doctors thought it was a goiter or some other thyroid issue, as Makari's family has a history of thyroid issues. However, when the medicine she was given to treat a goiter didn't work and more things began to swell, doctors decided to do more tests. After an initial thought of papillary thyroid carcinoma, more tests determined it was Hodgkin lymphoma. Diagnosed at the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic in March, Makari's last round of chemotherapy was in July. In this week's episode, Makari discusses what was going through her mind when she received her diagnosis, what it was like to undergo treatment during a pandemic, and what she has learned about herself after being diagnosed with cancer.
It was a little freaky. It was also like just random, because I was in school, I was doing everything, and I was like doing lots of things with school. So it was like, oh, I have to do this, I have to go to the doctor, and I have to do rehearsal and la la la. And I was doing like musicals at school. Like I said, I go to performing arts high school. So this was all during that time, and it was just a crazy time. So it was just weird, and it felt just always something to do, always going to the doctor, always doing this, always doing that. So it was just crazy in that time. But I mean, after they had said it may have been something with my thyroid, it was just, I was kind of content with it. I didn't want to freak out too much because, I mean, why do that? There's no use in it. So it was just kind of like, okay, I'm going to do this. I have this other thing to do, but yeah, crazy time.
So then we talk about kind of going through all these scans, but going back to March, you finally get your official diagnosis. Can you recall that moment and what you were thinking when you hear that you have cancer?
Yeah. I believe that day earlier, I maybe had a scan or a CT scan maybe. And then we waited a couple of minutes maybe a few hours to let them look at everything and make sure, and just to clarify and be certain. So then I got called back up into the office where I think it was the infusion, just office area. And so we sat down and the doctor came in and they were like, hey, this is Hodgkin's lymphoma. And so I didn't know what it was. So I was like, okay, but I knew it was cancer. And I knew that this cancer was more extreme than what I thought the thyroid cancer was. Because instead of just a surgery, I would need chemotherapy and all of this treatment and stuff. So I was really scared when I heard that news. I was confused, like I said, because I didn't really know what it was, but I knew it was serious. So that automatic thought, when you hear that word cancer, you think, OMG, am I going to die? Am I going to make it through this? So it was really emotional, really scary time. But I mean, yeah.
Okay. So you mentioned, you know, your treatment aspect, you get chemo and everything like that. So what was your treatment like? And also with that being said, you know, you were diagnosed earlier this year. So what was it like going through treatment during a pandemic?
Yeah, it was crazy. Okay, so to be specific, my treatment kind of went like this. So I would go on Wednesday. It was like a whole month type schedule thing. So I would go Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 3 days straight. And I was there for like 8 hours each day. So, and that was right when we started virtual school. We were on like Corona vacation. So I was sitting there doing my homework and stuff, but this was like my first time. This was my first round of chemotherapy. So that was Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 8 hours a day. And then that weekend, it was kind of a chance to just let everything settle, see how I reacted. And I believe I had to get a shot. My parents had become like nurses for a day. So they had to give me a shot and I did not like that. But it was really weird because I was at home. I wasn't like at the doctor getting the shot like you typically do. But yeah, so there was that. And then on that next Wednesday, I went again for another 8 hours. And then I had a whole month or so to kind of like let that 2 weeks. It was all just in this month cycle type thing. But literally after that last Wednesday of chemotherapy, I got really sick, or I just felt really bad, and I ended up getting a fever. So, and that's not really good for people who are cancer patients or just getting chemotherapy, because our immune systems are compromised. So any type of fever, any type of infection can be taken more seriously in our case, because our bodies aren't able to fight it like normal. So I was hospitalized for almost a week, maybe 4 or 5 days, and it was Easter weekend. So that was a little scary, but I got home on Easter, so I was at home for Easter, so that was really nice. But that initial cycle was not a go for me. They were like they heard that I was hospitalized. Okay, and they were like, well, maybe we won't do this anymore. We'll try something else that's not as harsh on your body. So the new treatment plan was I went one Wednesday, and not Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It was just one Wednesday, and I ended up being there for almost like just 2 hours instead of the 8 that I was there before. So that was really nice. And then in the next 2 weeks, I went on the other Wednesday, and that was the new cycle. And that was much easier on my body, but I did start feeling the sickness that people tend to get. The first couple of times I was all right. I threw up every once in a while, but then I started feeling really sick. Like I would get so fatigued and tired and just not want to do anything. And this happened for 4 months. I had chemotherapy for 4 months or 5 months around that time. So yes, that was really hard. I did not like it. I don't like throwing up. So having to do that almost every day was really bad, but I got through it. It was fine. And after like maybe that weekend after that Wednesday, I felt fine. It was like, oh, I'm back to normal. But doing that all during COVID-19 and that whole pandemic, it was actually not as scary as I thought it was going to be, because honestly, there weren't a lot of people allowed in the hospital. It was typically just like the patients that were like most urgently needed or need the most attention. So cancer patients had that priority. So I was there and nobody else was there practically. So it was nice. I didn't feel like, oh my gosh, you have Corona, because there were a lot of people there. And traffic was really nice. There weren't anyone on the roads at that time. So we were just in and out, because the hospital's like 45-ish minutes from my house, but we ended up getting there in like 15, 20 minutes. 30 minutes. I'm exaggerating. But yeah, so that was honestly kind of nice. So it didn't really conflict as much as I thought it would. But yeah, those were my treatments.
So then how are you doing today? How are things going right now?
Doing good. So I had my last round of chemotherapy July 1st. So that was the day I kind of like got to ring the bell, and they were like, yeah, you're done. And they gave me like gifts and certificates. They were like, you finished chemotherapy. So that was a nice day. So now I only go to, CHOA every 3 months. So the last time I was there, it was middle August, and I just had to get scans done, and they were just making sure everything looked all right. And now I have to go back again, honestly, or actually next Tuesday or this coming Tuesday. So yeah, and it's really nice. My hair is starting to grow back because I barely had any hair at one time, but now it's growing back in my eyebrows and my eyelashes. And yeah, it's a good time. I feel fine. I had a port-a-cath, so I got that removed. So that little scar is healing now. And yeah, it's just all kind of new. It's just fun watching my body like return to like this new state, like my old self, but like new. So yeah, it's really interesting, honestly.
Okay, so you know, you've been acting since you were a young child, both in movies and on Broadway. Do you think your experience kind of training and doing all of those things has helped you anyway during your cancer journey? And if so, how would you say it did help?
Yeah, I honestly think it did help a lot. One way I really thought that my history with acting really played into my journey with cancer was I really learned how to just tune in to certain emotions. So, you know, when you act, you really have to portray whether it be happiness, sadness, joy, being joyful, like all these different emotions, you really have to be that. So when I went in, I know I wasn't going to feel good. I know it wasn't going to be a great day, but just thinking that, okay, I'm fine, I'm happy, I'm good, and just really tuning into that I ultimately ended up feeling that way. It's like all kind of a mind game. So I think just having that experience of being able to be this other person and just feel this other way, it really helped me to feel good in those times.
You also mentioned too, the new you, so to speak. You're learning how to kind of approach that aspect. And many patients tend to reflect on their new self after going through treatment for cancer. So, looking at it, what has cancer taught you both about yourself and life in general?
Well, I think that entire journey just really helped me to see how strong I actually was, because chemotherapy is hard. Cancer is tough on the body, and I made it through. I mean, yes, it was hard. I had to fight many times, but I made it through. So that really just opened my eyes to how strong and just blessed I was. And it's an eye-opening experience, really. Although it's not really the best time, it wasn't the best time of my life, it really helped me to see who I really was and just really see that I'm great, I'm good, and just really appreciate myself. So, yeah.
And, prior to your diagnosis, you were approaching your 16th birthday, when you were diagnosed. So I'm sure that's not something you would have ever imagined occurring as you're preparing for your birthday, but you're still, and talking to you now, you take this approach of, you're just going with the motions. You're keeping life as it is. So for not only other children out there facing a diagnosis, but even adults as well, what is some advice you would offer them?
I would just say, you got it. Smile. I mean, there's no use in being so sad and so down all the time. It's not going to get you anywhere. Like I said, portraying that happiness, trying to be happy, ultimately in the end, you will feel good. And I know for people that are going through things like I have that have been diagnosed with cancer, you think, okay, why me? Why is this happening to me? Why am I having to go through this? I just think about it, and you were chosen to do this. Somebody, a higher power, God, if you believe in God, or who else you believe is there, they chose you to do this for a reason, because they knew you were strong. They knew you could get through it. You could fight it. You were bigger than it. And that person or whoever placed this upon you knew that you could be a testimony for other people to help them get through it. So I just think of it as you were chosen. So you got this. Just get through it and tell your story. Help other people. It's going to be great.
And talking about helping other people, I saw that you have been a part of raising some money for some organizations. So can you talk about that and kind of how your cancer journey may have played a role in that?
Yeah. So for my 16th birthday, because I couldn't do anything because of Corona and also because of just everything I was going through, I couldn't have a party. I think that was like the big plan. I think every girl has that dream to have their sweet 16 party, but that couldn't happen for me. But that was fine. I'm not that big of a party person. But my mom was like, well, hey, why don't we give? Let's do something nice. Let's give to the community. I was like, okay, yes, I love that. So we thought of, while we were there, we thought, okay, maybe we can give to some type of organization or just fundraiser for kids with cancer, because I can connect with people like that. But then it was also during just the Black Lives Matter movement. And as that was growing, so we were like, okay, we want to give to our people. They really need it at this time. So we thought, who can I connect with that is going through something like me and is like me? So we talked to, I believe, some of the people at the hospital, and we learned that, because also where I was getting treated in the infusion room, the sickle cell patients were also getting treated there. So from all we were getting and all this information we heard, we realized that many of the cancer patients have this, 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 and this to go to, all these different activities to rely on, people to rely on, whereas sickle cell patients don't. And many of sickle cell patients, they are African-American, people of color. So we were like, okay, that's it. We're going to help sickle cell patients, people with sickle cell anemia. So we were looking for organizations to give to. And we thought We were talking to some friends because we have many close friends with children that are fighting sickle cell or just have that. And we learned that CHOA was doing their own fund for sickle cell anemia. So we thought to give to that. So my whole fundraiser, which was a little play on numbers, it was to get 16,000 because I was turning 16. So it was just raising money to give to kids with sickle cell anemia and just grow that program at CHOA, Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. So it was a nice time. I loved giving. It just was nice not having all the attention on me, but rather just giving it to other people. Because giving is so nice. It makes you feel so good. And just seeing other people be helped and grow from that, it's a gift in itself. So I really, that was my giving to other people, helping other people. Oh, and I also... we have a close friend that knows Dick Vitale. So he does his own little children's cancer pediatric funds. So I was able to interact and connect with Mr. Dick, and he allowed me to be one of his little child superstars ambassadors for his B Foundation, which is just this huge organization that raises funds every single year for pediatric cancer and kids that are fighting things like me. So I was also able to help with that. They had a little program. It was online because we couldn't be, it's typically in Florida and they do like this whole little gala, but they couldn't do that because of Corona. So they had a little virtual thing. So I sang for them and it was just a great thing to be a part of, being able to give in that way as well with my talents and things like that. So yeah. That's what I've done, and I hope people can do the same. Find ways to give.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cure Talks Cancer podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @curemagazine.